couple weeks ago, we celebrated Christmas. And anybody got a great gift for Christmas? I got a gift. A lot of people got gifts for Christmas. So we celebrated Christmas, and many of us got gifts. Typically, when you get a gift, you do two things with it, I think. Especially if it's a wrapped gift. You do two things, at least two things. One, you unwrap the gift, right? And two, hopefully you use the gift. Okay? I know every now and then you attempted to do some re-gifting, but but if you get a gift, you unwrap it and then you use it, right? So you unwrap your gift and then you use your gift. First you want to see what it is, and then you want to utilize what it is. So if you open the gift and that nice little sweater, you say, thank you, Jesus. And you tell the person who gave the gift, thank you. And at some point, you wear that sweater. Well, guess what? Christmas was not just a time for you and I to get gifts. Christmas was particularly a time for God to give a gift. And God gave the best gift he'd had at Christmas time. Anybody ever received that gift yet? God gave the best gift he had at Christmas time in the person of Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible says that greater love had no person than this, that they would lay down their life for their friend. And God has demonstrated how much he loves us by gifting us with his son Jesus Christ, so that through Christ we might come to eternal life. Are you excited about that? Yeah. Through Christ we might come to eternal life, meaning if you lose everything on this side, you can gain everything on the other side because of that great gift that came at Christmas time. Well, Jesus was a gift to us so we might receive salvation. But then God has given us gifts. As soon as you receive Jesus Christ, God has packaged a gift for you. It's called a spiritual gift. Spiritual gifts are for us to be able to be effective as members of the body of Jesus Christ. God doesn't want us just limping along through life. Praying for someday when we get in the street by and by and walk around the street of gold. In fact, God wants us to live well down here. How many people can appreciate that? God wants us to live well down here. God wants us to lead vibrant and victorious Christian lives down here. And the gifts of the Spirit help us to do that. Listen, particularly within the body of Christ. I believe, my brothers and sisters, that the church is the hope of the world. It's a crazy world out there these days, isn't it? The church is the hope of the world. And if the church is going to be the hope of the world, and if the church is going to be world changers, then the church need to fully recognize the gifts that God have given and fully utilize those gifts. It's the good news. Everybody has something from God that should make the world a better place. So what is it you have, and what are you doing with what you have? Ask your neighbor what you got. The question becomes, what is a spiritual gift? I want to begin answering the question by telling you what a spiritual gift is not. A spiritual gift is not my church position. So just because I'm the chair over here and just because I'm the leader over there, that's not necessarily my spiritual gift. Now I can graft my gifts into my roles in the church and my function and function better. But it doesn't mean I have a position in the church, and so that's my gift. And I think if we begin to recognize that, the church will work better. Because I think oftentimes in the church we put round pets in square holes. You ever done that before? It doesn't fit well. You got four little pockets because it's round. It doesn't snuck in. Spiritual gift is not your church position. Spiritual gift is also not Christian discipline. You know, Christian discipline, it's important. See? Fasting, praying, all those things, those are solitude, those are Christian disciplines, right? But that's not spiritual gift, as important as they are. Spiritual gifts are also not fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22, 23. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and the Holy Ghost. Those are fruits. Those are not the gifts. It's also not talent. Talent is important, but talent is all natural. Gifts have a supernatural component. Because the giver of spiritual gifts is not Pastor B, it's not my genetics, it's God who gives gifts. And so since we know what it's not, then we need to move to what it is. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
There's a difference, listen, there's a difference between talents, skills, and gifts. A talent, for example, sometimes is a result of genetics or training. But a spiritual gift is a result of the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, when God saved you and redeemed you and rescued you and I and brought us back to the fold, he gave us a gift that we can use so that we can be competent in a particular area in our ministry. A talent can be possessed by anyone, a Christian or a non-Christian, while a spiritual gift, listen, is only for those who are Christians. Watch this. God has a gift for everybody he's created. But you have to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ to receive a spiritual gift. Because a spiritual gift is designed primarily for the building up of the kingdom of God. So that the church can be what God wants us to be. And so the church can affect the world. See, I can't go and try to fix other people's stuff if I can't fix my own stuff. If my own stuff not fixed, I can't go and be trying to fix everybody else's stuff. And every now and then we get in trouble because we let desire take over. I want to help him. I want to help her. Well, if your stuff ain't together, you're just going to mess up other people's stuff. So the gift ground us so that we know what we're competent at, we know what we're confident in, and we know what we have a passion for. And then you can move into other spaces and affect people from a place of competence and confidence and motivation. And that's why spiritual gifts, my brothers and sisters, are important. Listen to me. Both talents and spiritual gifts should be used for God's glory and to minister to others. But spiritual gifts are focused on these tasks. They are primarily, hear me, to affect other people and to glorify God. Wait a minute, Rev. That doesn't sound right. So God going to give me a gift and I can't benefit from the gift? Come on now. You know what I mean? Of all my mother's children, I love myself the best. God, I got to hook myself up first. No, God gave you the gift so you can gift others and help others and affect other people's lives. Watch this. And as you do that, God will make sure your stuff is cared for. You ever notice when you bless somebody, you get blessed back? When you help somebody, you feel fulfilled? God will never leave the gifter without help. The helper will always get help. So if you reach out and pour into other people's life, God will always make sure that your life is poured into. And sometimes it's not just an exchange. You know, when you think about giving as a form of exchange, then you miss the move of God. So if I give Debbie a gift and I'm just looking for Debbie to give me back, I've done nothing, the Bible says. But if I just gift Debbie because God has gifted me, God will hook me up from another direction, from another source, from another person, so that I can continue to do what he's called me to do. Spiritual gifts, my brothers and sisters, is an endowed ability given by God's Holy Spirit to be used primarily for the good of others and for the glory of God. It's important to remember that spiritual gifts are given by God. God wants us to have a healthy dependency on him. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about the differences in the church here in the greatest country in the world and all the other places I've been. And yes, what I find, it's the same Lord, it's the same Spirit, it's the same gifts, but we function differently. Watch this. Here in this great country, we have so much of everything. It's easy to see yourself in autopilot. Like my work, my college, my ability, my expertise, my skills, my connection. So then all of a sudden, God is distant in the background. Watch this. When God is distant in the background, unintentionally, you lose your passion, you lose your focus, you lose your zeal, because he doesn't seem to be a big part of why you're moving from one place to the next, from one situation to the next. We seem to just have it going on. And I go to other places and I just get up and say good morning, and everybody just jump up and down and start shouting, and I'm thinking, what did I say? I didn't say anything. I just said good morning. But that's because there are people who understand that unless the Lord builds the house, the builder builds in vain. That's a healthy dependency. They know that God is the one who causes the sun to rise and causes the sun to set. So they understand that. They depend on God for everything. And so God is an engine that keeps moving them. And then your zeal and the fire is always fanned. And the devil doesn't dupe you into thinking that you are so self-sufficient that you don't need the strength of the Savior. Spiritual gifts are given by God, and all of God's people need to remember that unless God gives traveling mercy, I might not make it home. God is involved even if I don't see him, if I don't hear him, even if I don't know, he's involved. And so it's a gift given by God. So what are those motivational gifts? The Bible names 7 of them. And we're going to look at 4 of them today, of those motivational gifts. They're motivational because they're gifts that God has given to us so that we can be able to see things through the lenses of God and share those things with others. So God expects everybody who's been giving a motivational gift to see through his spiritual eyeglasses and use your gift to affect lives. Every spiritual gift, every child of God who receives a gift must do 2 things. 1, you must discover it, and 2, you must develop it. Mm-hmm. The people sitting on the sound of my voice who have a gift that they probably haven't discovered yet. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Hopefully when the series is over, you already will discover your gift. It's not that when you turn 12 that I need to know exactly what my spiritual gift is. You can discover your gift at any time as long as you discover it. And you develop it so that God gets the most glory. So here are the motivational gifts that we see in the text. He said, if your gift is prophesying, then you should prophesy, watch this, according to your faith. According to your faith. So the first motivational gift that I want to show you is the gift of prophecy. Prophecy is getting a message, receiving something from God, and communicating that immediately so that somebody hears what God has shared with you. So here's how we think about prophecy. We think about prophecy often as foretelling, right? And we look at it as something futuristic, like you're going to tell me where I will be when I grow up. Prophecy is also about the present. How many people know God is speaking in the present? And if you have the gift of prophecy, God is telling you something that you need to tell to somebody else. And if you receive something from God, if you hear something from God, and you don't tell on behalf of God, then you are not utilizing the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy sometimes can cut. Because when you prophesy, the prophecy, listen to me, might not produce fuzzy feelings. But the prophecy, if it's of God, ought to be shared exactly how God has given it. In the Bible, prophets will come sometime and give some tough news to people. You remember King David? The prophet came to him. He said, King? So there was two men. One had a whole bunch of sheep, a whole bunch of cattle. The other one just had one. The man with a lot went to the man with one and took his stuff. That's right. Involuntarily. So what do you think you do to a man like that? He said, oh, that's a wicked man. That man ought to be killed. He had a lot of stuff and he took the man's want. Oh no. That's what he said. Come on, man. And then Nathan said to him, said, well, guess what, King? That man is you. Uh-oh. Do I have time to change my response? Sometimes God will say some things to people that might rub you on the wrong side. Yeah. I want you to be aware that sometimes you don't respond to people. You need to respond to the message. Because sometimes the message is good for your soul. Sometimes we need to hear some things that will be helpful. It might cut in this moment, but it will heal tomorrow. It will develop you, and it might make you better. But if all I want to hear is the nice things and the cool things and the affirming things, then I might miss what God is really saying for my life. So the gift of prophecy, watch this, it's a gift that must be used in its purity. In other words, you don't try to fix what God is saying. You just say it. Now the gift of prophecy also involves good news. See, as I was a kid, I wouldn't have known that. We have folks who used to come around every Saturday. They have these long white garments on. And I was amazed at the one track nature of their prophecy. They would come to the house and say, the Lord, send me here. Put the finger in the bowl, take some oil, put it in your head. And then they'll say, I'm going to prophesy over your life. The Lord showed me that you have a lot of enemies. People are after you. And all every week it was negativity. People always trying to hunt us down and cut your feet from under you. And bad things were happening. And everybody didn't like you and stuff like that. And then they would say, well, give us something. We'll pray for you. Every Saturday. And then this one Saturday, my dad was looking for his wife. And you know, she was so accommodating to everybody. The prophet was out there giving her all the bad news. You got all the enemies in the world. And my dad looking for his wife, can't find his wife. Calling her, can't find Joanna. Came to the front. Joanna is listening intently to this barrage of bad news. And it's not daddy walk. He looked at my dad and said, oh, and so the Lord gave me a word. And dad said, no, he didn't. Because I talked to him too. Whatever he told you, he's going to tell me. Yeah, he said that. My dad said that. Watch this. Yes, the thing about prophecy, I told you prophecy must be used in its purity. Whatever God prophesies to me about you, God is going to confirm within the body of Christ. God would never tell me something to tell you that somehow God's not going to confirm to you. He's going to confirm it. That's why God gives the gift and the body affirms the gift. That's why connecting with people, talking to people, all of those things are healthy Christian practices, because that's how you determine what God is doing. Out of the mouth of men, the Bible said the Lord confirms his word. So if God said something for you, God would tell you. Either to somebody else, or in your prayer time, or in your study time. Don't let anybody tell you they have the gift of prophecy, and they keep telling you stuff that only they're telling you, but God never confirms. So that's why we said bring your Bible all the time. We want you to be on page with God. I was a young pastor in Baltimore trying to raise the church. I didn't know what in the world I was doing. 19 years later, I still don't know what I'm doing. But at the time, we're trying to raise the church in, you know, in the part of Baltimore, tough ministry. And a brother came to me once and said, Pastor, God gave me a word. I said, okay, let me hear it. He said, the Lord said that we need to start a 5 o'clock service here. So we're going to reach a lot of people. I said, really? You know, you starting the church, you're struggling, you want to reach people, my goodness. I'm like, oh, I'm all ears now. I'm like, okay, tell me. He said, yeah, you know, there are a lot of people in this neighborhood, you know, they're dealing with stuff, you know, they got all these issues going on in life, so they sleep in late, but at 5 o'clock, they're looking for a place. Yeah. I'm like, okay. He said, we can reach people for God. I said, I like that. He said, Lord, give me that. I said, great. I said, now tell me, what else did the Lord tell you? I said, who did the Lord say was going to lead this effort? I said, did the Lord show you that you are going to be the leader for this 5 o'clock service? He said, oh no, Pastor. The Lord said you are going to lead it. I said, okay, I received the prophecy. I will wait for the confirmation. I never got the confirmation. So he received a prophecy from God for me to start a service at 5. I'm struggling with the 11 o'clock service, trying to get that off the ground. I'm working a full-time job because the church can't pay me. I'm raising a family. And he said, the Lord says you start 5. And he got season tickets to the Orioles game every single year, which means at 5 o'clock, he will be at the ballpark, and I am supposed to be leading a service. And the Lord told him that. I said, okay, brother. I just wait for the Lord to confirm that to me. Look at your neighbor and say, what you got? He said, if your gift is serving, then you should serve. The second gift, my friend, the motivational gift, is the gift of serving. The gift of serving demonstrates love by meeting practical needs and is task-driven. In other words, people who have the gift of serving can have a variety of abilities, but when they find an unmet need, they put their hands to the plow and they serve. The gift of service is what we call one of those choir gifts. Choir gifts, because it's most time, you know, like the gift of teaching, you got to stand here and say something. But the gift of service, you just serve. And every now and then we're in the body of Christ, we mistake the choir gifts to be the lesser gifts. There are no lesser gifts. All of the gifts given by God are necessary for the work of the church. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 12, I believe verse 22, it says that those gifts are necessary for the work of the church, to strengthen the church. The church will not be complete, the work of Christ will not be complete unless all of the gifts come together. And that's why you should never think that your gift is not important to the body of Christ. Some people may preach, some people may teach, other people may serve, but the gift of service is so critical. In fact, when Jesus went to visit Mary and Martha, you remember? Mary and Martha were doing two different things. One was in the kitchen, whipping up some beans and barbecue chicken. And the other one was at his feet, anointing him. They both were serving. One was serving, trying to meet needs that were physical, and the other was trying to meet needs of the spiritual. Are those both needs, are they important? Are they important to us, both of them? Yeah, it's good to get the word, but after you get the word, you're going to go look for some food, right? You don't have to say amen, I already know that. So the people with the gift of serving, watch this, are people who meet needs in the body of Christ and beyond, and their gifts, while acquired, can have a tremendous impact on the functioning, watch this, of the organization. So if you find yourself with a passion to serve, you probably have the spiritual gift of serving. Some people, and I watch them around the church, some people, as soon as you bring stuff, you put it down, they're not on the team, they just get up and start fixing stuff and start serving. You know why? That's because they have the gift of serving. It's the thing. Whatever spiritual gifts you have, you have the passion to use it. And when you use it, you stay motivated because that's your gift. So you don't get burned out because that's your gift. And if God, through his spirit, give the gift, then you are not going to run out of steam. He's going to refresh your soul. So you keep doing what you love to do. Gift of serving, if not secondary to gifts, it is significant in the building of the body of Christ. And these gifts are not just used on Sunday or in church meetings or for church programs. God has gifted you and your gifts follow you. You can impact your school. You can impact your job. You can impact your community because you have a particular gift. And then he also said, those who have the gift of teaching, they should do what? Teach. The gift of teaching discovers and validates the truth so that the church maintains accuracy. The gift of teaching also helps the church to steer away from heresy. So watch this. So many teachers, we got a lot of educators. You can learn to teach, okay? And you can have the gift of teaching. Now, if you learn to teach and you have the gift of teaching, you would just simply be an extraordinary teacher. See, because the gift is God's natural endowment, so you are able to just do some things well. I had a colleague my first year in Baltimore City, and you know, I couldn't figure out how to manage my class in the first week, and every time I walk up the hall to Paul's class, I just marvel. I'm like, what did he do to these kids? They are all well-mannered. They are always on task, on time. They seem to be so respectful. And those exact same kids came down the hallway to me after lunch, and I don't know what happened. I was frustrated. I was ready to quit the first week. So I went to Paul after school one day and I said, Paul, man, you got to show me the tricks of the trade. I don't know what I'm doing and these kids are driving me crazy, but I see the same kids in your classroom and everything seemed to be tight. I said, what's the secret? He said, man, I don't know if I have any secret, but I prepare for every moment that they're in the room with me. He said, I always have two plans, an A plan and a B plan. I said, oh. He prepares for 45 minutes. I was preparing for 30 minutes. And I thought since I had a little bit of swag, and I used to wear my suit and tie to work, I could just wink it, you know what I mean? They look at me and they'll be respectful. He had them constructively engaged in fun stuff. He kept them on task. He affirmed them. He engaged them. He paid attention to them for every single minute in his class. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying those who have the gift of teaching must prepare. That's how you develop the gift. You can't just wink the gift. You have to develop it by preparing properly so that God always infuses new life into the gift of teaching. Otherwise, you're doing a disservice to the body of Christ. Unprepared teachers do a disservice to the body of Christ if your gift is teaching. You have to prepare. You know why? Because the devil cannot damage that gift if you tap into the source and you say, God, show me, tell me, and equip me so that I can communicate. The gift of teaching is for communicating. And if people are not learning, then I am not communicating well. See that? That's why the people who have the gift of teaching, watch this, they're listening and they're patient with the students. Because they know they have extra help by way of the gift of teaching. They're patient. They're not anxious to say, let me show you how much I know. People with the gift of teaching say, let me see what I can pass on to you. So I listen to you, I find the deficit, and then I share. Because if learning doesn't take place, then my gift is not being effective. And what else he said? Finally, he said, and those who have the gift of exhorting or encouraging, he said, let them do so diligently, or let them encourage. The gift of encouragement is so important. Some of you may have that gift. Folks, it's 2017. And we started the year off already with a lot of craziness. The passenger who sat next to you could pull the luggage and pull a gun out and start shooting the people he just flew with on a plane. There are so many situations that can get you down, that can discourage you, that can make life such a challenge for you. Relationships, finances, health, all of those things. The gift of encouragement, more than ever before, is important for life within the body of Christ. Those of you who have the gift of encouragement, you have to use that gift. There's so many people who need a word of encouragement. Anybody ever need a word of encouragement before? There's so many people who from time to time just need a word of encouragement. If you have that gift, you have to share that gift. And encouragement is not always verbal. I don't always have to say something to encourage you. The little girl was told by her mother, say, come home on time every day after school. She said, okay. And she came home late. Her mother was upset. I told you, be on time. Go in the room and get that switch and bring it. Don't raise your hand if you had a grandmother like that. Don't raise your hand. Go bring your own switch. She said, no, mother, no, no. I can explain. So, well, it better be a good explanation. So what happened? So I was coming home And I saw my friend Mary, and mom said, okay. And she had lost some money her mother gave her, and so she was afraid to go home. And mother said, okay, what I got to do with you? You don't have the money to give her? Said, well, I helped her look for it. She said, did you find the money? No, we didn't find the money. So why you came so late then? You should have just come on home. Said, but mother, she was crying. And so I sat down and I cried with her. I didn't have the money to give her, but I sat with her and I cried with her. I shared her burden. I let her know that even though I couldn't refund the money, but I wanted her to know I was empathetic to what she was feeling. I think that child had the gift of encouragement. Sometimes just being present with people and just listening can encourage their spirit. I don't have to give you a whole lecture. I can just be there for you. I can just listen so you can sound off sometimes. I encourage you by letting you know that I'll always be there. The gift of encouragement can lift people's spirit. And when people's spirits are lifted, they have a shot to bounce back and go further. God has given us gifts, my friends. And all these motivational gifts can make a difference in the world we live in. What is your gift? Discover it and develop it. And be better at what you do. Because the God who's given you the gift also has the power to use you in magnificent ways. Put your hands together and thank God for his generosity. For his generosity. Stand as you're able in the presence of God. As you prepare to close the service, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to God.